It's episode 310 of The Platformers, a show about games and nerd culture, and I'm your host, Brian Barnett.
I am Roadside Picnicker Chris Cornelise.
Yo, I am back from almost dying the Pax Plague. I'm Will Berger, what's up?
I'm Lucas White, and I had a thing and forgot it. I'm just really doing great.
One day we'll get you into the intro.
He is going through it, man. Ladies, gentlemen, and other associated folks of indeterminate gender.
I didn't even try last week. This week I was like, I got it, and then
yeah,
just immediately,
whoosh.
Yeah,
gone.
Yeah, left my brain. Is...
Well, you know what? That means that next week you'll have it and you'll say it.
And it'll be terrible.
But then the week after that, it'll be like, okay. And then the week after that, it'll be really good.
We fail forward here at the Platformers.
It's true.
See y'all in a month when I have a good
Lucas wins White failing upward. You know, we love to see it.
Only
onward and upward.
Common Lucas W, as we say.
Yes,
as those of us in the business have come to know,
it's true.
In the business,
there's a lot of wins going
business. Yo, listen, honestly, it's crazy. Like, it's been a great, because I was talking to I'm working on something that's going up tomorrow. Jarrett just had a review go up for IGN. Jess just did something. Like, Lucas has had something come out. Like, everybody is winning right now. We're all eating. The cooks are in the kitchen, and the food tastes fucking good, baby.
April has been very busy.
Well, I mean,
I have an interview. I have an interview and like feature that's going up on Thursday, and then I have a preview that's going up after that.
Yeah, I think by the end of the month, I think I'll have 11 things up on Check News.
Yeesh. Hell yeah!
Yeah, I'm very tired.
Nice.
You guys do good work, and I'm just here being moral support or something.
Oh no! You've been running the cast for a while, Chris. Don't worry about it.
It's fine. One day I'll get back in the biz.
You keep us honest.
One day.
Someday, probably.
Speaking of...
Oh, go ahead.
Bro. Oh, go ahead.
No. Listen. I was going to say, you know, one day is always sooner than you think it is. That's what I've learned.
It's true. The light is on. Brian is home.
Yeah. It's true. It's true. Speaking of wins, let me tell you about a little something that my wife picked up for me.
Oh, baby.
For the listeners out there who lack the needed context as to why this is so fucking funny, Brian had a Steam Deck and then hated it and got rid of it and then decided he actually wanted another one. And so his wife, being the endlessly patient, wonderful woman she is, shout outs to Audrey, was like, we could do that. Got him another one. I mean, she got him an even nicer one.
Got that old
I got the originally when they first back when Joshua Mobley and Chris Shriver were on the show,
in the before times,
I got one in the ancient that's not even the ancient times, the when Josh's cousin was on the show, that's the real ancient times, and then Martin Galazzi on the show, that was still pretty ancient.
10,000 years ago, before Chris Cornelise, Lucas White, and Will Berger.
Mm-hmm.
65 million years ago, last Tuesday.
Yeah. The show's gone through a lot of iterations, the only constant being that being me.
And there were a few episodes recently stopped, so yeah.
You know, there's no accounting for taste, Brian. That's all we can say.
Maybe your new Steam Deck will be the next constant.
Yeah, but yes. So full context. Yeah, I did hold up my Steam Deck, which is a Steam Deck OLED. I was not able to get the one that I wanted, which is the Steam Deck limited edition 1 terabyte, translucent gray case with the orange accents, which is just gorgeous.
It also makes you nachos.
My brother-in-law has one, and I was like, my God, that looks incredible.
So you're gonna beat him up and take it, right?
New Steam Deck he just got is the replacement one. He's gonna beat him up, take the cool one, and give him that. And
just an ever increasing amount of Steam Decks that get progressively fancier until he's just lugging around like a 20-pound CRT TV that has like one of those VCRs in it, but it's actually like an Xbox or something.
Yeah. Just RPG progression, man. You just got to get the plus one Steam Deck, yeah.
Yeah, the Steam Deck
it's
plus
true.
One.
It's true. So this is, I mean, this is really, so this is like my end game weapon, but it's not like the crafted optimal end game weapon. So like, you know, I'm going to, and it's not the weapon that I had to, it's the best weapon that you can buy in the game from a shop. But like,
but it doesn't have the Knights of the Round materia plugged into it yet, yeah.
Listen, he has so many lightning bolts to dodge before he gets the real one.
Oh my fucking god, don't say that to me.
100 fucking lightning bolts, god damn it.
It's actually not that hard. You just find the little pit and you just go in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out.
There's ways to do it, but
I mean,
my god.
Hey, Will, I did it.
I mean, listen, I'm not saying you didn't do it. I'm just saying, for those of you who are out there complaining about the lightning bolt dodging game in FF10, A, it's been 20 years. Please see someone. B, there's way worse things you can complain about in that game.
It's true. It's true.
Yeah, in that game alone.
Arguably, trying to get Khalid Bog is, like, less fun.
Yo, the fucking chocobo race shit.
I was literally just about to say, literally have to get like under 0 seconds or something like that.
Time must flow backwards for you.
Yeah.
That is the level of challenge we're talking about. Lightning bolts, that ain't shit. That ain't shit.
Trying to complete a Final Fantasy game.
What?
Those people, I said, I ain't ever trying to complete a Final Fantasy game. Those people are unhinged.
Even the best Final Fantasy game, though? Come on.
Listen, as someone who has done everything in FF7, I'm like, that was pretty cool. I watched my buddy play FF10 last year, like, did everything in the re-release, right? And I was like, Rory.
Hell no.
Rory. For your sanity.
Please stop. You don't
have
to kill the
Dark
Aeons.
And he finally did it.
You don't have to kill Penance.
And he finally did it, and he was like, I'm never fucking doing that again. The next time I do that again, you fucking tell me to stop. I'm like, I told you this time. You didn't listen.
See, I don't think the Dark Aeons are that bad. I think that you need to stop yourself before you go to, like, the farmer special bosses. Like, that's where it's just like, all right, no. Like, I got Yojimbo, I got Anima, I got the Magus Sisters. Like, that's fine. But, like...
Yeah, Penance is pushing it. Anything past that is, like, stop.
I'm not doing the other version of the boss fight where they shoved you off the cliffs in the Chocobo place at the farmer dude. Where he just, like, literally gets, like, 7 turns back to back and just KOs you. It's ridiculous.
Fun.
Listen, RPG sickos, right? We don't use that phrase because we want to say something else. We use it because you're actual sickos. Right? Like, I call myself a sicko because I understand the depravity to which I will go.
It's true.
You will
There's
go
no
to
depth
what...
to which Will will not sink.
But, I mean, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. I don't know about that. I mean, I'm not going
to
play...
You have to sink pretty far down to get to the Emerald Weapon, right?
Yeah, that's true. However...
And there's a time limit, so you got
to
mean it.
Listen, there's sinking down to get to the Emerald Weapon, and then there's doing everything in Final Fantasy XIII. There's layers, all right?
Not even once. I didn't even
finish
the game.
Bro, not even fucking once.
But here's the difference, all right? There's no... All right, let me clarify. There's no depth to which you will not sink in a game that's worth sinking into.
That's fair. That's fair. That's fair.
Like, I'm not trying to play a game that I have to play 100 hours in it before it gets good. Like, we're not doing that.
If it's a fighting game, I will hit you with the filthiest mix-ups I can learn. I hit Brian with one of the filthiest mix-ups I've ever done to anybody today, right before this show, actually. And his first reaction was, that was the filthiest thing I've ever seen.
Disgusting. Degenerate, even.
It was disgusting.
Listen, man, I would simply block high and then jump out of the wild throw, you know what I mean?
I would simply block high on the high-low 50-50 and then jump to avoid the secret fucking third layer that was coming.
Yeah. Brian, listen, you just have to unlock your Ultra Instinct and get good.
I would simply be correct. You know, it's that easy.
Become.
It really is that easy.
To react.
Hey, have you ever thought that maybe you should win the game instead of losing?
I would simply be correct. I would simply win. I would simply choose the right option at all times. You know?
Yeah.
Anyway, in this episode, the gang discovers their least and most favorite Final Fantasies. What are we actually going to talk about today?
Well.
The Steam Deck, I think.
The Steam Deck. So, yeah.
I forgot we were even talking about the Steam Deck, to be honest with you.
We were. That's because we went on a fucking rabbit trail, the likes of which the world has never known. So, I've been playing. I think you'll notice there are some
yeah,
games.
Yeah, yeah, I knew it. I was gonna say the original Steam Deck. He got it before Balatro came out. Now that Balatro is out, he's gonna be all aboard that shit.
Card games make a man do strange things.
It's not good a game.
I will say it. One of the interesting things about this. There are many interesting things. However,
as somebody who
likes a lot of different types of games, I am surprised the number of these games that do not run well on my gaming laptop that run flawlessly on the Steam Deck. That has been a real surprise.
When's the last time you had the Steam Deck? Like your old one? Around what time?
It was very shortly after it came out.
Okay.
And
Proton has come out a long way.
Yes. So, and this is the thing. Like, I was meeting with, on a meeting with Graham Reed, who made Super Space Club. And we were talking, and I was telling him, like, what the games that I like playing. And we were talking about all this sort of stuff. And he's like, bro, you should definitely get a Steam Deck. Like, that is, like, exactly the thing that you would love. And I'm like, yes, I understand. Like, on paper, it should be. But, like, I had one, and it didn't work the way I wanted to. It was not set it and forget it. I had issues like the cloud syncs would just not work or push properly. Everything was super fiddly. A lot of stuff I wanted to play just did not run, period. And the stuff that did run had issues. And he's like, yeah, a lot of that stuff has been fixed. And so I was like, okay, you know. And so, you know, I got this. I got a little hub, courtesy of Blessing Adeoye Jr. Told me about this one. So it's awesome. It's got everything I need. I can just plug my mouse into it. It's got like an SD slot. It's got an HDMI so I can plug it into my TV, which I have not done yet, but because this just arrived today. And I got a 1.5 terabyte micro SD card because I'm going to take all of the stuff that I have, all the ROMs and shit that I have saved on my computer, and I'm just going to put it all in one place. I'm actually finally going to make the one device to rule them all. And so Balatro has been incredible. The screen is so much bigger than the Switch's, and because I got the Steam Deck OLED, it looks gorgeous.
It's not a piece of garbage like the first Steam Deck screen.
Yeah. And
as someone who owns a first Steam Deck, I feel that in my soul.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like it is so wild to me, the discrepancy between my experience with the first Steam Deck and this one.
Yeah.
Like, on a software front, everything is smoother. Everything works way more the way I wanted it to. And a lot of that is just like software updates and iterations over the years. And then on the other side, it's like, okay, it's slightly lighter, which I like. It has a bigger screen that looks better, both of which I like. So, like, there are some games where I've played it and they're like, yeah, the UI elements or the text might be too small. And I'm like, it's actually not too small, which, you know, I'm like, this is great. It runs Street Fighter VI immaculately. It runs Guilty Gear Strive immaculately, like flawlessly. It's like playing on a fucking console. And you know, it plays Persona 3 Reload beautifully. Like, it runs perfectly. It looks incredible. And I'm just like, it's finally the thing that I wanted, which is just a stronger Switch that plays games so I can just have all my games and buy them in one place or buy them in two or three places, which I'll get into, and then just do it. Like, I've got my really powerful desktop where I can play things in maximum ultra settings. And then I've got stuff that I can play on the Steam Deck, which I can play anywhere. And I don't have to have like a little coffee table in front of my couch where I've got like a laptop and then like cables strung to me so I can play on the couch while I'm watching TV. I just have it. It just works. And
as Todd Howard intended.
Yeah. And having this hub means I can plug my mouse into it, which means that when I go into desktop mode, I'm not tearing my fucking hair out.
Yo,
to navigate it.
I gotta back up for a second. Todd Howard has never made anything that just works. I have to challenge this insane
claim. I know, but he made that quote that became well known for it. So, It just works. Incredible. Todd Howard, creator of some of the buggiest games known to man.
Something no one has ever said about a Bethesda game in the history of the known universe. There is another alternate reality where Bethesda games release bug-free, but it is not this one, baby.
Yeah, we do not live in that time.
No.
But yeah. So, but anyways, so I did that, and I got Chiaki working, which means that I can stream my PS5 to it. And that was actually really simple to get working. The next things that I am doing on my list are setting up GOG, and I think it's called the Heroic Games, which is like a plugin that lets you play Epic Games, which I have a lot of Epic Games. I have a lot of games on GOG. That means I'm going to be able to play stuff like Morrowind on there. I'm going to be able to play stuff like Disco Elysium. I'm going to be able to play stuff like, you know, like all, there's a lot of stuff. There are a lot of games that I have on PC, but I don't really want to sit at my computer to play them.
Yeah. 100%.
In Stars and Time. That's a bite-sized game. Like, I just want to play it little bit by bit. I don't want to sit down here and do it. I want to be able to play it on my bed, on the couch, wandering around, when I'm out in between, like when we're taking a break during rehearsals or something. You know,
I will not play it on my couch. I will not play it in my house. Yeah. I will not play it
here.
I will only play it here or there. I must play it anywhere, said Dr. Barnett.
I'll play it. I'll play it somewhere else, you see. I'll play it at the DMV.
Incredible.
The work is never done, ladies and gentlemen. It's not hard to be this... Well, it's not true. It is hard to be this funny, but it's not hard when you're this talented.
Hey.
Hey.
It's true. It is true. We have That has been... You know, my experience with it is wild to me, the discrepancy between my first experience and my new one. But I'm all in. Like, you know, there are games that just straight up do not play, like Dragon Ball FighterZ. I cannot play on the Steam Deck, but I'm just like, that'll just be a desktop game, and that's fine. You know, do I really want to play Strive on Steam Deck? The answer is yes, and I'm gonna take my Razor Kitsune to the practice space and challenge some of my bandmates to some games. But you know, it's fine. Instead of letting that get me down, what I am instead looking at it as is a way to focus my time. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, it can't play everything. What can it play that I want to play? And then going there and looking at it through that lens and just enjoying the flexibility, enjoying the improvements that have been, and then kind of getting it set up to do what I want to do has been really good. And it is nice to see, like, in, you know, PR, we're all in the industry, so we'll get emails from PR. Like, a lot of them will be like, hey, this, like, it's on PC and it's deck ready. You know, and it's just like, great, awesome. Now I too
am deck ready.
Yeah. and now, you know, now it's, I don't have to worry about the fact that, like, my gaming laptop is getting long in the tooth. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go on a trip and, like, I have, you know, the OLED one comes with a 2-layer case. So it comes with, like, the big heckin' chonker case, but it also comes with this case, which I have a, God, I forget what it's called. I have one of the Switch handles that goes around it that has, like, the handles off to the side. Mm. And because it is, like, bigger than your standard Switch, it has a custom case that comes with it. And I actually measured this one next to that one, and they're the exact same size.
Nice.
So... You know, I'm used to tucking that away in my backpack, and now I can just do this. And it's pretty slim, and it's a little squishy, but it's still pretty good protection when you are careful with your stuff. And
when you don't bludgeon passerbys to it with it, yeah.
Yeah, and it's lighter than my gaming laptop, and, like, so when I don't actually need to do, like, work on a computer... Like, it's way less of an investment to keep something close by that has a way bigger library than my Switch does, of stuff that I own and stuff that I can revisit. And so, yeah, it's been great.
Yeah, the only thing, really missing from Steam Deck, and it's kind of a, I don't know, special use case anyways, it's like Game Pass download games just don't work on it, and no one's figured out like a way around it yet. But that's really like the only major thing missing.
And the Xbox like streaming stuff does work.
Yeah, you can get that going, and it works really well. Really, like, I'm someone who's a really big handheld sicko for various reasons. I think dopamine is a big part of the equation. I'm very privileged to have multiple options besides the Steam Deck. But if I didn't, if I could only have one thing, I feel like the pros of the Steam Deck, especially the OLED, outweigh the cons big time. From like the price, the screen's finally good. There's so many things like emulators across, like I think all the way up to like 360 PS3 with some caveats work on that thing. Proton's come such a long way. It's really great. Like for me, like the things that are missing, I'm lucky enough to have alternatives for. Like I got this guy recently, the Retroid Pocket 4. Fits in my pocket. If I could have the Steam Deck to fit in my pocket, it would be over.
Yeah.
And then the ROG Ally runs Windows, so it will run anything you throw at it, but you might have to tinker more. But I could have very easily not had either of those things, and that would have made the Steam Deck, like, especially because of the price, just like hits so many more targets than it doesn't hit.
But the real question, Lucas, is can I run a Dreamcast emulator on the Steam Deck?
Oh, easily, yeah.
Hell yes.
You can run Doom on a
Dreamcast emulator. You can do widescreen hacks, probably get a CRT filter on that.
Oh, yeah. Listen, yeah. All I need, like, if you put me on a desert island, all right? My ideal setup would be a CRT, a Dreamcast, and some controllers.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Failing that, my ideal setup would be Redream and some controllers.
I'm sensing a pattern here, Will.
This guy runs Flycast. Like, Dreamcast is solid, buddy. It's
anyway,
good to
play
be
Dreamcast games,
Dreamcast,
is what I'm getting at.
Who needs all the modern Soul Calibur when you've got the original, baby?
That, listen, all I'm saying is every day we stray farther from what a good game console should be. And we peaked.
It's true. Nowadays, they're just bad PCs. Straight up.
Right? What if it was your PC, but expensive, and the hardware was bad, and you couldn't use the stuff that you wanted on it, and it was more expensive to buy things digitally, and it charged you to use your own fucking internet, and that's a game console.
Or, what if it was just a, PC, and it would fit in the back pocket of your JNCO jeans?
Listen, all I'm saying
is, it didn't charge you for your internet.
Embrace, reject the modern game console. Embrace the handheld.
Yeah, hell yeah, dude. I'm a handheld sicko as well, and I think that comes a lot from me traveling so much as a kid. Like I was way more in love with like the portable Nintendo consoles. Like those feel like home to me. Like the first Pokemon games, like Tetris, Mario Land, you know, all these sorts of things. And then on the color, like all this sort of stuff. Yeah.
Original pocket right here.
I got a transistor over there somewhere.
Readily, but it still works.
that's why I got this one right here.
Hell yeah. Yeah.
I also have one of those. Mine's blue.
Yeah, mine's yellow because my Game Boy color was yellow.
Mine is blue because my Game Boy pocket was blue. I still have it. It still works.
Mine's black because that was the only option.
Because I, Lucas was like, listen, you can have it in any color as long as it's black.
Yeah.
The choices were made for me.
Anyways, but I'm not going to belabor the point anymore. Just suffice to say, I'm really enjoying this. I'm living my best life over here.
You're back.
I'm decking. I'm steaming.
Have you messed around with like Decky Loader, with like messing around with the UI and stuff?
I got Decky Loader. I have only downloaded a few plugins and I haven't really worked with them yet because I've been trying to, my expansion card just came in today. Mm-hmm. So I got things copied over. I'm trying to get all my games like set up so I can actually get them transferred. And then, I'm trying to get the additional, like, I'm trying to get Xbox streaming set up and then GOG and then Epic Games. And then I'll start customizing and stuff. Oh, but I did download some plugins. There's one called, I think like Cheat Deck or something, where it's like, you can use like mods and trainers and shit, which like, I love doing shit like that. Like that's, I love that stuff where it's just like, okay, like I beat, Hollow Knight. Now let me just break it in half and equip like every charm and just go nuts. Yeah. Like I love that sort of stuff. That stuff makes me happy.
Yeah, you can like manipulate all the icons and like the carousel and everything. It can make it look really nice. And then you can like most games, there are some games that are even too sicko for the Steam Deck user base. But you can change the artwork on the capsules and the banners and everything for each game. You can do it yourself if you're, you know, unhinged enough for that, but there's also a lot of like community uploads and some of them are really nice.
Believe me, that's cool. People, we can always be more unhinged. I would argue that many of us are, in fact, too hinged.
That's probably true.
It's true. It's very true.
Very true.
All right. That's all I had. I just have been living my best life, slowly making it more the thing that I want it to be.
Oh, yeah.
And
the dream,
watching
to be honest.
Seinfeld and Always Sunny and all that sort of shit.
Can't go wrong, really.
Nice.
Doing Balatro, going up to Gold Stake on the new patch, which is fucking brutal because now they have rental jokers. Oh, I hate it.
Oh, God. No.
I hate it. You buy them for $1 and then they charge you $3 every round that you have them.
Ooh. That's an interesting
God
idea.
God help you.
I dig the idea, but ooh, that's going to hurt.
God help you if you get an eternal joker that's a rental because you can't sell it.
Fuck that. Straight up no.
Yeah. Anyways.
Anyway.
Anyways. Who goes next?
I can go next.
What do we got?
So remember last week and I was like, I got this fancy new controller in the mail from the people who make it. And then I played a game that has zero dexterity to it. About an hour before the podcast, I got into the Hades 2 technical test.
Ooh. Kind of by accident. Tell me.
Yeah. So this is a really nice controller. very, very responsive. I don't know if it's hall stick or not, or if it's just this controller, but the sticks are like really like heavy feeling. They're like stiff and like, but they don't resist. That sounds really weird. But
stiff, but do not resist.
It's just like, feels very sturdy and it's not like loose, it's not rattly. It like the shoulder stuff, it's like small but like just really like
to make the clicky clack.
Yeah, good controller. Anyways, so I played Hades 2 for like an hour before the show. Hades, I think, is not the masterpiece 10 out of 10 that a lot of people hold it up as, but it's pretty close, at least in terms of like.
You had me in the first half. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, I was like, oh no, this is one.
I was about to say this is why I like Lucas more than the rest of y'all, and then he just had to have the second half of that fucking sentence.
I think Hades is very good. Hades 2.
It's my Bastion. I'll give you that.
See, I don't like Bastion.
I know it's better.
I was not.
It's no Pyre.
The amount of bad opinions that y'all are spewing right now, just one after the other, except for Chris. Nicely done, Chris. The rest of you, I'm about to disown both of your asses. Cast you into the sea.
Try Bastion again. You should go back with, you know, time and all that and just take a look at Bastion again. Try it out.
I'm good.
Trust me.
I will take your word for it.
But Hades 2.
So Hades 2 is in both like the way it plays and the story is almost like an inverted Hades 1. So the story is you're Zagreus' sister, Melanoe or something like that.
Illinois, yeah.
So basically the story of Hades 1 was like Zagreus is an angry teenager boy and he wants to run away because his dad's pissing him off, etc., etc. This seems to be some time later, and you are reacting to something terrible that has happened to the underworld. It seems like Hades himself has been kicked out of his office building. Your hub is like a secret connecting path between like the underworld and whatever like leads the underworld. You are constantly like everyone's talking about Kronos. So I guess Kronos has come back and he's done some real fucked up shit and everyone's like in survivor mode and trying to get revenge and also I guess reclaim the underworld. So like some serious stuff has gone down. So instead of like kind of rebelling and running away, you're actually like
Trying
more
to break back
rooting for the
in.
home team. Yeah, you're trying to get back in, you're trying to actually like support the underworld. And there is a something is going on in Olympus. Like the game starts like in the middle of things and it doesn't tell you what's going on. And it's kind of interesting in that way. Your main character, she's more like, okay, I got this like thing I gotta take care of. And it's more like I don't want to say heroic necessarily, but it's kind of got that sort of vibe to it. And then gameplay wise, Zagreus is more of like a brawler, so to speak. Like his weapon, he's got like the shield, he's got his fists. There's a gun, but it's more of like a rocket launcher, spear. Milanoe is like a witch. Her whole thing is like magic. It's very heavy on the magic stuff. You have like an MP bar, the little thingy like the diamond that you shot Zagreus, like you can just spam that. You have a whole other like spell casting button, and then you have your like melee attack. But everything can be augmented by like holding it down, and you'll get some sort of like long range or alternative property modifier to whatever it is you're doing. And it's almost got like really, really heavy shmup qualities to it. Because you're not just a guy in the mix kind of like reacting to things. Like it's much more about like maintaining and controlling the whole space of the room you're in. Because you are just as much in control of a bunch of projectiles and bullshit all over the screen as the enemies are, compared to the first game. It's interesting. Like the magic spell you have by default is a circle that comes on the ground around you, and it like holds enemies in place if they get trapped in it. And you can hold the button and spend points, and it will deal damage to them afterwards, but just by default, it holds them in place. And immediately there are enemies that can and will outmaneuver you. And that's kind of like your way to maintain your control over the space. It's like, oh God, this thing's rushing me down. I need to like have this thing down so I can get the hell out of the way and create distance. Because it's much more, again, about like getting away and controlling the space and not really, really, you don't want to get in the mix, at least early on. A lot of like the powers and upgrades you get seem to be in service of that. So there's a lot of like freezing powers where you're manipulating things being able to come after you, or there's like fire stuff that is about like stopping projectiles coming at you or finding weird ways to damage enemies from even further away. So it's just like immediately a very different mindset you kind of have to approach the combat on, despite like the basic movement and controls being basically the same.
That's interesting. I didn't think that I would be more excited coming out of this conversation, but everything you're saying is, I'm like, Okay, so sorcery. Okay, so now it's like more keep away. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay, now there's like traps and shit, and I'm just yes.
Super giant don't miss. Very, I had little doubt good. Going into it that they would make it worthwhile and not just be, you know, Hades Plus or anything like that. So
yeah,
Hades Plus.
But they've never made a sequel before.
It's true, so, but
and they should have kept that streak alive.
Look, if they got an interesting story they want to tell here and ways to do it, then again, let them cook. I trust Supergiant more than I do anyone else in this industry, pretty much. So, yeah.
The only sequel I would have wanted to see was Pyre 2, but if you know anything about Pyre,
that's not possible.
Gameplay would have been totally different. It would have had to been completely different.
Yeah, like plot-wise, that's not possible at the end of Pyre, so you would have to change it up completely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think especially with the story, the fact that there's like actually some like interesting stuff going on outside is going to really help this game. I feel like Hades 1, the story came off stronger than it actually was, because like they had like the theater background voice talent doing a lot of work for a story that was just kind of, you know, angsty family drama.
And there is more going on to that story as it unfolds, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, from, I was just saying the entry story point. Aspect of Hades is the weakest one of Supergiant's outings.
But like the way it,
and it's the least original too.
The way it like weaves the story into like you're going back into the hub through runs and interacting with different characters and blah blah blah. I think that was really interesting, but the substance of the story itself is pretty light. Here, I think there's a lot of, at least in the beginning, just because it's like keeping information away from you, and I think is going to be building that as you progress, I think is like a compelling hook in comparison. But yeah, I only played it for like an hour, so the first boss had its way with me very quickly, and then I got on the podcast.
as it tends to be.
Yeah.
God, it took me so long to beat the Hydra. Like just relative, and now it's like I couldn't lose to it. Like
it was all,
even if I tried.
It was also significantly tougher in like the first iterate, like when the early access first dropped.
The early
like,
access.
The Hydra was the last thing you could get, and it was had a lot more health, was a lot more multifaceted. They kind of reduce the fight in a lot of ways, like still made it somewhat, you know, challenging to compensate, but like it wasn't a marathon.
And they saved that for like higher heats and stuff.
Yeah
that's awesome. Glad to
I'm
hear
keen.
It
very keen.
Yeah, I'm curious.
I saw a whole
like,
bunch of
like...
the artwork for the gods and such, and it's like, as usual, it's you know, Gen Z's art pops as always, and
yeah.
And, nice. And it's not all like everyone's hot. There's, you know, I think there's a little bit of variety to it, comparatively. Although they're still like, everyone's hot.
Although, bro, Will, I will ask you this. Did you see the art of Nemesis?
No.
She was in there.
Hold on. Let me.
She's like a angry looking guy.
As
armor.
Will, I know, share, some appreciations, so I'm gonna look this up and paste it in the thing.
Am I gonna do
Odysseus
the cartoon wolf eyes and make a wooga noises?
Maybe.
But did you see the abs on Hecate though? Holy shit! The most ripped witch in history.
That's what
Hades is for
of.
Everyone, because if Hecate you can't find a character that you find attractive in that game, I don't know what to do with you.
Yeah. Well, look at that. I just sent it to you in the platformers chat.
Wait for it.
Damn.
Oh,
yep,
there it is.
Yeah.
See the lip curl.
I told you, dude.
10 out of 10. No fucking notes.
Yeah.
Hello, girl. Like, how you doing? Can I get your number?
Yeah. You look, girl. You look like you could crack me in half. Let me buy you a drink.
And I saw it back from Zagreus and everything.
You look like you could crack me in half, and I'm not someone to let something go untested. So,
yeah. Why don't you follow me? We'll go back to my place and we'll test that theory.
What a way
to
go.
Nice to meet you. Please fucking kill me.
Respectfully, I would like you to put me in the hospital.
My beat around the bush just gets to the point. Just, I want you to end my life in the best way possible.
Have you...
a little foreplay, Chris. A little foreplay. Come
okay.
on.
Are you familiar with Futurama? I'm talking about Death by Snoo Snoo. Anyways.
Now I regret bringing this game up.
Oh, you shouldn't.
You know.
Bro, I don't know what you thought was going to happen, but this is the most logical progression.
This is the end point. This is, you know, you got to think about this. Since Will and I are talking about how much we both appreciate, let's say, strong female protagonists in a way.
Big women.
Karlak.txt.
Yeah, like,
there you
hello.
Go. There you go.
Yeah. My sexuality is Karlak.
This is correct.
We got, Jesus, how many of this is it? So we got Nemesis, we got Karlak, we got what's her face from Wayfinders. We got, were you a Marissa enjoyer?
I am and remain a Marissa enjoyer.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, we got at least four, you know. We got She-Hulk. We got them.
Listen, the beautiful thing, again, the beautiful thing about Hades is, like, everybody there is hot. Everybody.
Yeah.
You are having...
I saw that picture. Yeah, I saw that picture of Nemesis. Feast. And I was like, bro, is that Nyx? And it's like, nah, but close.
A feast.
Yeah.
We are not worthy of Supergiant's character designs.
No.
Like, Lucas is here desperately trying to be normal. Like, I'm not getting involved in this. These people are disturbed. How do they let them speak in a public place? There should be a law.
Well, here's the thing about that. This is not a publicly traded company. This is not a public space. This is a private show, and I run this show, and I'm a fucking pervert. So you guys just got to strap in.
Oh, boy.
Literally.
I reserve the right to be thirsty about anyone.
We here at the Platformers reserve the right to be horny.
Yes.
In places where you can hear us.
Yes.
Loudly, unapologetically. Some might say disturbingly so.
And
still
if we
considerably
could,
more tame
we would...
than the average Twitter conversation, though. Let's be real.
That's true. Listen, nobody here is barking like a dog yet. Nobody here is barking like a dog yet.
Keyword. Yet,
I mean,
unfortunately,
that is a load bearing yet, Chris.
Yes, it is.
I can't believe
that is
a
load bearing yet.
A
do not take the yet out
Fates
of that sentence,
night,
or the entire thought will crumble.
I'm the least degenerate person on the show.
If we could keep you here captive so that you had to listen to our thirsty thoughts, we would. But unfortunately, there is an off button or a pause button, and so you know, if you feel the need. I mean, I guess you got to do what you got to do. And in the meantime, we will do what we got to do.
We can
I don't
talk
like
about
the way you
say
night that.
Level degeneracy if you really want, because I can follow this.
Yeah.
So,
bro, and the funny thing is that, like, this is so tame compared to what we could unleash. But let's move along, because we don't have tons of time. Will, what are you bringing to the table this week?
You know, I don't
have... Is there anything you can talk about?
Legally? Morally? Grammatically?
Ecumenically?
No, so I am working on some stuff that I can't talk about, but I can talk about the newest thing that I'm going to be able to talk about next week.
Which is a good segue for me, honestly.
Pacific Drive. It's
holding up the physical box of the deluxe edition of
Pacific
Drive.
I love the art here. I kind of don't want to open it because the art's so pretty. But
I'm surprised you got it on PS5.
You know,
or I guess I shouldn't be surprised.
This is a game that I feel like my wife is going to want to play, and she does not like playing games on a computer. I will say that my thing is not necessarily games related. However. I've been as I've been working on games, I find it necessary to sometimes take a few minutes and watch and read and absorb other forms of media, because if you just do games all the time, you're going to want to kill yourself. And
Yeah. Oh,
if you just
100%.
talk about games all the time, especially with the community at large, who is either extremely normal or extremely normal, you're going to want to kill yourself. And they will encourage you happily. So
They
I've been
will.
Or
doing
someone
other
else.
That is
yeah.
true.
So I have been doing other things, and let me tell you, Shogun? Oh yeah. Shogun, pretty fucking good.
Book or series?
The series. Very different than the book, actually. It takes some very interesting creative
Yes.
choices. But the beautiful thing
Where
about it,
is this?
Shogun is on Hulu.
Is this a newer one or just the older one?
This is the new one. This is the one that is running right now.
Okay, I didn't know there was a new one because they did one that was more, that was a closer adaptation of the book. And I don't remember when it came out, I was older. I studied Japanese in high school, so that was a thing we watched. And I happened to have the book in my house because dad was reading it, so I read it as well. And yeah, interesting stuff. Good shit. But
I
I'm
do not
curious.
want to be
I did not know about
Shogun,
the new series, though.
said the man who very much wanted to be Shogun. Anyway, Shogun is awesome. It's got the cast in that is absolutely stacked. Like just genuinely one of the most like stacked casts. Like Hiroyuki Sanada alone is worth watching. But fantastic cast, great adaptation, like big budget prestige television that actually feels like they spent a lot of money. Like you can see the money on the screen. So if you haven't seen Shogun for whatever reason, please go watch that. Similarly, my wife and I, every couple of years, because someone brought up Shogun and be like, oh, this is what Game of Thrones should have been. I'm gonna get on my soapbox for just a minute. The thing Game of Thrones should have been was a TV series called Black Sails, which none of y'all motherfuckers watched.
Hey, I watched
You're right,
some.
I haven't.
Black Sails. Kira and I have become like Black Sails evangelists. Like when I was in grad school, we were like, have you seen Black Sails? Like, have you heard the good word? Right? Like knocking on doors and shit, and we would show all our friends Black Sails. And so we were like, it's been a hot second since we've watched Black Sails. And
Oh, I'm friends with Will, confirmed.
Yes.
Because he's shown me Black
Yes,
Sails.
if you are in a room with me for an extended period of time and we are not at a convention, I will make you watch the pilot of Black Sails. It
And if
is.
you are at a convention, he'll make you watch the first episode of The Wire.
Yes, that's true. And you should watch The Wire if you haven't seen The Wire. But going back to Black Sails, man, that show holds up really well. Really well. So my recommendations for art that are not video games on this week of the Platformers Podcast are: A, if you don't have Hulu, get Hulu, watch Shogun, cancel your Hulu subscription. And B, please go watch Black Sails, which as of like 2 days ago has just reappeared on American Netflix. So if you have Netflix, you have no excuse.
I do not have Netflix.
I have the internet.
Yeah.
The internet will provide.
The internet will provide. But seriously, please go watch Black Sails. It's a prequel to Treasure Island, that also has real historical
Ooh, now
pirates
you
in it.
really have my attention.
Like Anne Bonny and Charles
Did
Vane.
you? I don't know that I knew that, actually.
I'm almost positive I told you that. It is
Yeah.
a prequel to Treasure Island, so there are characters in it that appear in Treasure Island, such as John Silver.
Is Kermit the Frog in it?
It is not. Dude, this
Muppet
is
Treasure
yeah, the only
Island
miss.
fucking rules.
Listen,
It's
it's
a
funny.
little it the show is a little too horny even for Kermit, you
Listen,
know. He's
again,
with Miss Piggy, so you wouldn't think that, but it's
as
still
far
a little
as
bit too
again, we were talking about, there is a feast to be had in Hades. The
Yeah.
cast of Black Sails might be the single most attractive cast I've ever seen on a television show.
It's pretty wild.
It
It's
is
a bisexual fantasy world.
it really is. It is a feast of beautiful people, whatever your persuasion. And it's also very smartly written and acted and was filmed on a real location, and there are real ships and
That's cool.
politics and intrigue and betrayal and
Yeah, it was good. I'd forget how many episodes we watched,
I think two or
but
three.
yeah, it was good. It
Yeah,
was good.
so please, these are my things for you, because I cannot talk about the stuff I'm working on aside from I still don't like Unicorn Overlord. I'm sorry, Unicorn Overlord people. I don't like it.
I'm with you there.
I fell
I
off it
am
too.
I am tired of this game that will not let me play it. I'm tired of how much time it wants me to spend in menus. We have been played for fools by RPGs, video games were not meant to be played, not looked at in menus.
I wanted to like it. I really did.
Bro, but I have never wanted to like anything more in my life than I wanted to like Unicorn Overlord, and I've never been more disappointed. That's actually not true, because I played Perfect Dark Zero. I have rarely ever been more disappointed in a video game than Unicorn Overlord, because all it was doing was sending, hey, Will, Fire Emblem. You like Fire Emblem? I do like Fire Emblem. I like Fire Emblem before it was about tubes of Colgate toothpaste. I'm very interested in your product, sir. And then it was like, how do you feel about FF12? And the answer is not good. Fuck the Gambit system. Anyway.
FF12 is sadly, I think, one of the worst examples of squandered Final Fantasy potential in the series. I think it and 15 not being versus 13 are like the two biggest misses.
Let's be real. Anything from 12 onward is just like wasted potential. Not quite there yet.
Even 16, which is good.
And only 14 got the updates to actually get to the level it should have. So go fix it.
Yes, yes. And that's all I'm going to say. I want to hear what Lucas had to say, because then I'm going to pass it off to somebody else because we have 15 minutes left. So, Lucas, I saw the finger go up. You looked thoughtful.
I lost it. I think I was going to say... The 15 hate just threw me off my train of thought. Because I like...
We were talking about Unicorn Overlord.
We're talking about Unicorn Overlord. I was making fun of number 12.
I was going to say, in the Tube of Colgate's defense, that game pushed back against what Fire Emblem had become.
I disagree.
That game is secretly all right.
I disagree for different reasons.
That is an That's entire... Fair. Listen, we should have an entire podcast about the rise, fall, and animeification of Fire Emblem. Because
They reverse on all the you know, relationship-driven nonsense.
Yeah, because it's basically an ascended mobile game that wanted to be Fire Emblem Heroes 2 before they realized that was terrible.
Yeah, kind of. But yeah,
they reversed it because it wasn't going to be in the mobile game, so they don't have it.
I want to actually hear like long form thoughts on Fire Emblem as a franchise, maybe as a separate podcast. However, we should.
I would like to go through that, because I have a lot of thoughts about Fire Emblem.
I do too, and Me too. For a period of its history, they're largely positive, and for the modern period of Fire Emblem, not so much. Anyway, my contribution to the podcast this week is I'm hilarious. Watch Black Sails, watch Shogun, and do not play Unicorn Overlord.
Nice. And play Guilty Gear.
Yes, and play fighting games. Come to if you are in this space as a media or a content creator, hit me up. Come to Golden Weeklies. There you go.
It's cool. Also, as a quick non-video games media plug session, I just got finished reading this, which is Star Wars Thrawn.
Oh, I've read that one.
By Timothy Zahn. This is a good ass book. It's
pretty
real
solid,
fun.
Yeah.
Didn't
it's
he
real fun.
Write other ones also about the blue guy.
He wrote the original Thrawn trilogy back in the 90s, which were like some of the first major spin-offs for Star Wars, and they kind of kickstarted the entire expanded universe. They were like the baseline and the benchmark.
Yeah,
Heirs of the Empire is really good. It's better than that one. It's better than the current one, but like, yeah, they identified that he was good, and like, you want to come back and salvage the fact that we just threw out all our canon.
I was going to say, didn't they throw out all the garbage and then came?
They did, but then
they
have had certain writers and creators bring some of that old expanded universe stuff back into canon in a different way. So what I will say is, yes, I prefer the old ones, but I'm not done. I'm like halfway through the second Thrawn book. But going back to this, I thought this was a retelling of that story, and it's not. This is the origin story of Thrawn, which is great, because I didn't know that, and I didn't know that it was an unknown unknown. I didn't know that it wasn't a widely known thing, his origin story, and I think it's interesting. And now, instead of like just continuing to read the second book in the original Thrawn trilogy, I'm actually going to start them over now knowing this. And like holding this in my mind as like the backstory of like how he came to power, because it's interesting and he's an interesting character. And the other people in the world, like it's about three characters in the world and how they kind of get established and where they end up going. And I'm really excited to like start those other books over. But yeah, I would recommend Star Wars Thrawn. I think it's good. And the audio book, if you get it from your local library, is pretty well acted.
Good stuff.
All right, who's next?
Chris.
So I don't have a huge amount, but in following up what Will said about he has Pacific Drive, he hasn't started playing it. I have. I played it for about 2 hours yesterday. And
what is the premise of Pacific Drive?
Can I answer this question?
Please.
Yeah.
Because I know the answer, because I played it at PAX West. So Pacific Drive is set in the Pacific Northwest, post, like, basically apocalypse. You are in a region called the Zone. The Zone has this big storm that runs through it and just completely rearranges it all the time. And you have this cool, God bless these people, you have a fucking station wagon, and you are trying to navigate the Zone and survive. I think that's a fairly accurate summary of what Pacific Drive is.
Basically, yeah. But I can take it one step further. Are you familiar with the book Roadside Picnic, which I alluded to in my opening bit?
Yes. I haven't read it, but I know it.
Yes, I know it, but I haven't read it, yeah.
Yeah, I am the same again. I need to read it. But it has inspired a lot of things, including most notably the Stalker Shadow of Chernobyl series.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which, this is very similar vibe to that. Again, you have a zone where there is weird artifacts, almost alien, esoteric, eldritch artifacts and things. There's obviously the storm is rearranging things in an almost, to make it an almost roguelike fashion.
Hmm. A diegetic roguelike.
A little bit, yeah. And it's kind of roguelike, it's kind of survival game, it's kind of driving simulator with car maintenance and management and such, and you're navigating this zone full of all this weird shit and navigating all these, you know, yeah, just all sorts of obstacles, terrain, while scrounging what you can to both build up and restore and repair the car as you go, and then gradually upgrade it, upgrade your base of operations to get further into the zone, and eventually, hopefully, both, one, figure out what the hell it is, where it came from, what it's doing, and hopefully get out, or more likely end up, you know, stuck there forever in some horrible eldritch space. That's probably how it's going to go, but yeah.
Okay.
And that's the premise. So, yeah, it almost plays like a roguelike, but you're a first-person kind of survival thing where you go around, you scavenge, you scrounge, you dodge hazards, and you get in your car and do that again in that as well, and it can protect you from a lot of different hazards like storm, radiation, so on. And all your upgrades are less about buffing yourself and more about buffing your car or getting the tools that you need to harvest certain resources and destroy certain things in order to get better resources to upgrade your car. You know the loop.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and so far it's very tense. It's very atmospheric. It does a really good job of leaning heavily into art style without going super heavy in graphical fidelity. So... Mm. The texture work is obviously very low poly, low detail, but it looks really striking, really stand out. The sound is really immaculate. And yeah, so far it's like I only played it for 2 hours. So I'm like, I am super intrigued. Hooks in. I want to see more.
Nice. Awesome. Well, I'm excited to hear more of what you and Will think on the next episode.
For sure. I will keep you apprised. That should be
fun. Yeah. Any final thoughts before we sign off?
Morrowind is still good. I've been playing that as well. Again, as usual, as I do. I just
sicko, you disgusting pervert.
Hey. There were a set of mods and such that I found and updated and, you know, fucked around with that. And
yeah,
I'm basically just waiting for the big Tamriel rebuild update so I can just go explore that new chunk of it, because that ongoing mod project is incredible and better than anything else in any other game.
I'm really interested to see, kind of tagging back into like the Steam Deck discussion. A lot of the mods that I have done on PC have been like manually done. Like I've done it through Nexus Mods, or I've done it through like various services that you can get, including some which I covered for the show. I'm really interested to see it, like if there's any mod integration, like from like the Steam Workshop and stuff, because I've never really gotten into any of that. Do you know, Lucas, do you know if there's like a mod presence on the Steam Deck?
So honestly, mods is like just a thing I don't think of. Like it just doesn't occur to me naturally. So I never looked into it.
Gotcha. Cause yeah, I was thinking like, dang, if I could get Elden Ring with this like seamless co-op mod on my Steam Deck, like, oh man, that'd be pretty juicy. Anyways.
Yeah.
I'd like to imagine it's doable, but I just don't know.
It probably is. And if not, like you can do a lot of stuff in the desktop mode, you know?
Sure it would be pretty easy for me to find out. I was just curious if anybody had messed around with it, particularly because there are a lot of really interesting Balatro mods, including like reverse tarot cards, like adding a bunch of new jokers. And like, because I've basically gotten to like end game, like I've been to like ante 12 or 13 out of 8 before several times. I've gotten to gold stake and beaten it with several different decks. Like I'm kind of like, I have a pretty good idea even on the new patch of like what I'm doing. So like the idea, I mean, and I said this in my first review, like in my review of Balatro on here, like I can't wait to see what happens when the mod community gets a hold of it. They already have, and there's a lot of really crazy looking stuff, and I just want to play it. But I want to play it like on my Steam Deck. So
I'm just going to hold off touching the mods on Balatro as long as I possibly can, because you'll never see me again.
I think you need to, one thing that I've started doing is I have like a couple of things where like, I'm like really into it. It's like, okay, I'm doing Ghost Deck because I really want to play with Spectral cards a lot more. So I'm doing that. I have that up to like Orange Stake, I think.
That was the first one I got to Gold Stake. I haven't beaten it with Gold Stake though, because Gold Stake's a bitch, but yeah.
I beat Gold Stake with Checker Deck, but that was on 1.0. Now I'm playing on the experimental 1.01, which changes a lot of stuff. Vampire is not very good anymore. Other stuff is better. Like Bloodstone is way better. So like, I'm trying to get like, I think I got a Bloodstone and Oops All Sixes, and it's just like, you just instantly win. Like if you have that combination. But yeah, so like there's a lot of stuff, but I've done enough different decks that have different types of advantages that I'm kind of like, I feel like I've seen almost everything that the game has to offer. I mean, I've played this game for like 170 hours or something. Like I have a lot of time in it. So it's like,
way quicker than you'd expect. I'm over 100 hours in now.
It's like Vampire Survivors. Like you don't realize where the time goes. But yeah, I'm just like, man, yeah, I really am tempted to like get the mods going for this game, because I feel like this is just going to be a forever game for me. Like, you know, there's like unlimited potential to like what you can do with it. But anyways. Yeah.
I'm going to write an op-ed on this one, I think, and pitch it to a certain website, because, yeah, this is... I have things to say about this, and it's really cool. Balatro rules.
One of the greatest games ever made, I would say. Which I know is wild. And I also know that I should probably stop talking about it, because we'll not play it. Because it's a dangerous game.
I actively tell people not to play it for that reason. Yeah.
Listen, I know myself too well, and card games are just no.
Yep.
There are.
I told Chris, I'm like, you're welcome, and also I'm sorry.
Yeah,
and I can't and give it was you right. one without it was the
completely
other.
Completely 100% correct.
Like it was when my doctor was like, you know, I'm not gonna tell you should stop eating red meat, but as you get older, you should probably eat less of it. And I was like, you know what, that's reasonable. And now as I've gotten older, it's like card games. That's a young man's game. that is a hobby for someone who is not married and has a lot of disposable income that they can spend on nonsense and does not have a 30-year-old Jaguar. Like, that is... Yeah. No. That era of my life is over.
Yeah.
The cardboard crack is no more.
It is... Listen, you never... Like, you know... Addicts never really recover. They just stay clean for really long periods of time, you know what I mean? Like, you never really get over it. But I'm clean for a long time, and...
Stay that way.
I would like to stay that
Save
way.
Save yourself.
Yeah.
Magic is keep, forever. Gotta, it is still there. It is always chip, calling Will. To me.
That Listen, that chip is going on like 5 or 6 years now. Like, it has to remain.
Yeah.
I cannot go back to the way I was.
All right, as your sponsor, I'm gonna get us out of this situation by saying thank you.
Y'all got any more of those booster packs?
Tuning in for the for episode 310 of the Platformers. I've been your host, Brian Barnett, and if you want to catch me around the internet, you can find me at Ribnax on Twitter and Twitch and YouTube, and at Backlogged and Blue Sky at Brian Barnett, Brian with an I, and Barnett with two T's, if you ever wondered about that. Anyways, yeah, I've got a feature going up about a really cool, like, hour-long side-scrolling lane grinder called Skater Gator. That's going up on Thursday on IGN. It's real fun. There's also a sequel called Skater Gator 3D. That is pretty cool. I talked with Ryan Huggins about it, who also is like a studio director level game dev on the team that made Paparazzi, which you guys may have heard of, which was like the doggo photography game. Yeah, so
one
I've got that going up.
In the biz, yes.
Yeah, I've got a preview that's going up later, but I can't talk about yet. Yeah, so if you want to see what I'm doing, just check all that stuff out. Chris, where can everybody find you?
I just got to say, Skater Gator sounds like a game you play on Friday. If you know, you know. Hi, I'm Chris Cornelis. You can find me at my website at versusthebacklog.com, VSthebacklog.com, one word. And you can find me around the internet as Delfeir, D-E-L-F-E-I-R. Say hi if you see me.
I will also say that Skater in Skater Gator is spelled S-K-A-T-O-R.
Nice.
Skator Gator.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. Beautiful. If you're looking for it and you can't find it, that's why. Yeah. Will, where can everybody find you?
You can find me all over the internet. Mostly, I am at IGN. If you would like to read what I've wrote, you can find me always on Twitter at @ByWillBurger. That's Burger with an O, not a U. I also run Golden Weeklies, a fighting game tournament for Games Press and Friends. And if you are interested in doing that, and I know you, and you meet those qualifications, and you are not in our Discord, and you would like to play Guilty Gear Strive, or Tekken, or Street Fighter, or Granblue, or Dragon Ball Fighters, or if you have other suggestions for other games that you would like to see us play, please reach out, let me know. We would love to have more people playing fighting games, because fighting games are truly the best genre. I'm working on a couple of things for IGN. If you've been using the Rides of the Ronin guide for the side quests, that's me. If you've been using the guides for Unicorn Overload on our Features and Trends, that's also me. If you are, I also have something really cool that's going up tomorrow at the time of recording of this podcast, and I can't talk about it yet. So I am working on several things, but please, you know, reach out to me on Twitter. Let's talk about fighting games.
Okay. That's
me. Nice.
Not yeah, card games.
Play fighting games.
Play fighting games.
Lucas, where you at?
Yo. You can find me on the socials at Hokuto no Lucas. You can find most of my writing, especially this month, on shacknews.com. Most recently, I reviewed Ayuden Chronicle, which is what I was going to talk about this week before Hades fell on my lap. So you can check that out there. I was also on Axe of the Blood God this week for the same game.
Hell he, so yeah, he was. Let's go.
A listen too.
Nice.
Yeah.
My boy. We're so proud.
Thank you.
Killing it. Cool. Well, if you like the show, tell people about it, because we don't advertise, and that's the only way. Word of mouth is the only, truly the only way. Keep our name in your mouth.
But do it respectfully.
Keep us in your mouth. I mean, keep our names in your mouth.
Keep my mouth in your mouth? Use tongue? Question mark?
Yeah. Just a tip, just to see how it feels. From everybody here at the Platformers, we hope you have a wonderful week. Because until next time, we are out.
Peace!
Peace.
God.